title of our Sunday school lesson is The Benefit of the Saved Only. And our devotional background study comes from Psalm chapter 37, verses 7 through 26. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class at this time. And this is Romans chapter 8, verses 20 through 28, and it's Paul doing the writing. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, the title of our lesson, The Benefit of the Saved Only, is speaking to us here who have been saved, and to all of God's children throughout history that have been saved. This is going to be trying to point out some things, some blessings that we uniquely have, not things that the world in general has available to them. And you notice here that he says in the 20th verse, for the creature was made subject to vanity. That is mankind, vanity being useless, of no good. There's no point in it. They're vain, puffed up, and having a show and things, but really no substance thereof. That is the condition of man in his natural estate, that is, before he's saved. There's no good thing about us as when there's no Spirit of God about us. And that's how we're made, that's how we're created. But he goes on to say, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered. We that are saved have been delivered. We have been set free from that bondage of sin, from that corruption. Now, we still have this mortal body that we're shackled with, and we read on down here a little bit that we're waiting for something, that redemption, when our body shall be made perfect. But we have these hopes that we look forward to, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. We are, as saved individuals, set free in our spirit. We have a guidance, a leadership in our heart, the Holy Spirit of God. If we'll listen to it, He will guide us in all things. And I'm going to try to keep this in order, but my mind wants to get ahead of myself here as I speak. He goes on here in the 22nd verse here. He says that, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We see that all around us. We see the pain and the suffering that's in the world. We have prayer requests made every Sunday for lost people and saved people alike who are in hard times. They're having trouble. And you can turn on the news at any time and hear terrible stories of things that are going on in the world in general. It doesn't seem like, sometimes you get weighted down with it so much. It seems to be so much suffering and pain, and it almost seems hopeless. And it is hopeless without the Lord, without Jesus there to help us through it. It is hopeless. He goes on in the 23rd verse here and says, not only they, but ourselves also. That is, not only the lost people and the people of the world are suffering and having these troubles and these pains, but we, God's children, also are faced with these things. And we know that's true because I know that many of you, and my mom included, are having to deal with some really hard things right now. And Brenda has testified about, she doesn't understand sometimes why this is going on, why she's having to deal with this. And I don't think any of us can answer that. I know I can. I won't try to. I do believe that God's in charge of these things, and I believe that He's there for His children, for y'all that are suffering through that, and He will help you through it. But it says here that we groan within ourselves, and bringing that to myself, sometimes I have a burden on my heart, and I don't even know what it's about. I don't know why. I just feel like I need to pray sometimes, but I don't know what to pray about. And I'm really getting this out of order. I didn't mean to get into that until later on in the lesson, but I know that God, I can feel His presence, I can feel His Spirit, and I can feel Him directing me to pray. And I can't quite put my finger on what it's about. All I can do is pray and pray that His will might be done. And, you know, I think that's what we as God's children need to do all the time, is pray that God's will might be done, and that He might direct us, that He might let us know what it is He'd have us to do, and maybe let us know why it's going on, but not necessarily. Sometimes we will never know why. I have to think that when we're suffering through these things, there's somebody watching, that somebody sees, somebody knows, and it's making an impression on them. That's what I come up with. Now, you know, like I said, I don't know. I have more questions here, and I think you're going to see that as I stand up here and try to teach you. I have more questions than I do answers, and many times. But what I want to bring out is that we as God's people need to rely upon God. We need to turn to Him. That's the greatest benefit that we have, I guess. The title of our lesson is The Benefit of the Saved. We that are saved can turn to God. We can lean upon Him. We can trust Him. And He can see us through these problems, these troubles and turmoils that go on about us, because they will go on, and that's what Paul is saying here, that we're going to be groaning, we're going to be faced with these things. But turn to God, ask Him to strengthen us. Not that they're going to always go away, because sometimes they won't, many times they won't, but He will be there for us to help us through those. But that's a benefit that we have. That's something the world doesn't have. You see them suffering through the same things many times, for whatever the trouble and pain might be, and they can't turn to God. They can try, and you see that sometimes, that people, you see them trying to pray, and I don't want to judge other people. I don't want to speak about how they can, whether they can or cannot, because I don't know the condition of anybody's souls, and it's not my place to say. But I know, just speaking in a generality, that there are more people not saved than there are saved, and you have to know that they don't have this benefit of being able to turn to God and be strengthened by Him. It speaks of waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And I want to go for just a second to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 13 and 14. Verse 14 says, "For we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." And it spoke right before that about suffering outside the camp. Suffering outside, apart from this world. Don't be caught up in the world. And we can't help but be in this world, but we don't have to be partakers of the sin of this world. We can suffer outside of it, inside the sphere of God, inside the realm of the church, spiritually turning to God, waiting for this adoption, for this continuing city to come, our heavenly city, because that's really where we need to be focused upon, is serving God, being a spiritual people, being connected to God. And it says the redemption of our body. I think he's speaking there of that time when we won't be suffering upon this earth anymore, and this body that's by eyesight gets dim. You know, you have pains, aches and pains, but we have a body in the future that won't be suffering for all those things. We have a body that will be perfect and complete and whole, and will never grow old. I think that's what he's speaking of here, that we're waiting for that thing, that body. And we have that hope, he goes on to speak of. I wrote a note in my Sunday school book here also that the Bible speaks of where Paul said that I reckon the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be counted for the blessings that we're to receive. I read that this morning. I didn't write down where it is. I think it was in Romans, but I'm not sure. But that's true. We have blessings, and we have benefits coming our way, that all the suffering in this world are not going to be counted as worthy as anything in comparison to what we have awaiting us. The Bible teaches us that eyes not seen, ears not heard, nor is entered into the heart of man the blessings that we have in store for us if we will serve God. Now, it also speaks of those that are saved so as by fire, that they enter into heaven, and they don't have any rewards waiting for them. They only made it through just as if they had only just then been saved. Now, that's a pretty big benefit right there, to avoid hell and to enter into heaven. But don't we, as God's people, want more than that? Don't we want to serve God, to store up our treasures in heaven, not store them up here upon earth? And sometimes that's hard to do, because we want the things of the world. We want to store things up in heaven, and it's easy to get caught up in that. But we have an opportunity here to work for God. We have a chance to earn heavenly rewards. And I don't mean to make that sound as
like we should only be out there working for gain, but rather we should work for God and serve Him because that's what we ought to do. That's what we owe God. Whether I get any reward at all in heaven shouldn't really enter into my mind. But we know that we do. The Lord has told us we do get rewards. That shouldn't be the reason why we work for Him, though. We should work for Him because we love Him. You know, in this life, we do things for each other because we love each other. If somebody's suffering, we want to help them through that. If there's something I can do for you, I ought to, not because I expect some kind of payment from you, but rather because I want to take upon a little bit of burden and to help you through. That's what we ought to do because we love each other. And it's the same thing for God. We need to be trying to serve God because we love Him because of what He did for us. We go on and we read here that likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Lord knows our problems. He knows our troubles that we're faced with, and He knows them before they're even upon us. He knows them before we ourselves know them. And He's there to make intercession with God that we might be strengthened, that we might be helped through them. Maybe sometimes that we might avoid the heartache and trouble altogether, but if it's not possible for us to avoid it, that He would see us through and help us through. He goes on to say, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." He looks down upon our hearts, and He knows what the will of God is. He's able to steer our hearts if we're willing to let go. If we're willing to turn it over to Him and trust in Him, He's able to guide our hearts that we might pray in the right manner. And by doing so, avoid some of the troubles that are to come upon us. But the 28th verse here, I think, is probably the greatest benefit that we as saved people have. This should be a comfort to all of us that are saved. The 28th verse here says, "And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." In other words, no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on around us, it's working together for our good. It might be painful, and it might not be something that we would really choose for, but it's for our good. It's bringing us either closer to God or to a point in our lives where we will be better able to serve Him and cope with the things that are going on about us. They work for our benefit. That is something that we as God's children have. That is a blessing, a benefit, however you want to phrase it, that we have that the rest of the world doesn't have. That is something that, you know, things aren't always working for their benefit. Things are many times, we read in the background study about how the things that they do, the evil that they do, will be turned back around upon them. But the evil that's going on in the world will work to our benefit. As I studied this Sunday school lesson, as I tried to study it, and I tried to wrap my mind around the benefits that we as God's people have, and there are many. I didn't really even begin to touch upon the benefits that we have and the blessings that we have. But a thought came to my mind that we're living in a country where we are so blessed in the United States that, you know, I tried to think about the blessings that I have and the things that are afforded to me that most of the world doesn't have. And we're truly living in a blessed country. Now, it's a country that's got a lot of problems, and it's going the wrong way, I'm afraid. There's so many negative things I can say, but it's still a great country. It's still a blessed country. We still have food in abundance. We have, all of us have a wealth that, and I'm talking about a worldly wealth. We're all pretty much doing pretty well. None of us is wondering where our food is going to come or where we're going to sleep. We have clothing. We're really a blessed people. And that's the United States as a whole. Add on to that that we as God's children are worshiping God in truth and in spirit in this country, and the blessings, the spiritual blessings. We've got it on both ends of the spectrum. We've got carnal blessings, material blessings, but we also have these spiritual blessings, and we're doing it in a country where we're free to worship God. We don't know how much longer that's going to be. We don't know what the future holds, but right now we have those blessings. We have the security that God affords us. We have the contentment that He puts in our hearts when we turn to Him and trust in Him. We have an opportunity here to meet today in fellowship with our brethren, and we have an opportunity to fellowship with God. He'll meet with us today if we truly desire. If we ask Him to be here and to move our hearts, He will. He said He would. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. Another blessing that He's bestowed upon us, another benefit that we as God's children have, the security of the saints. That's about everything that I've got for today. Does anybody have any thoughts, any questions, any comments? I kind of think that, we could substitute the word blessings for the word benefits. They are benefits of being saved, but it's so much more than that. It's blessings poured out on God's people that I know I take for granted. I forget about them. I don't really avail myself to the opportunities that are out there for me. And we truly are a blessed people in so many different ways.
That key verse is one of my very favorite verses. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is such a comfort, and it is so assuring. And I love the way it's written. You know, it starts out, and we know, and it's so definite, and mm-hmm. we know
yes.
that all things work together for good to mm-hmm. them.
Yeah, I agree with you. If there's nothing else, let's keep the preacher in our prayers. The Lord might give him strength, guidance. Remember the prayer request that was made during Sunday school also. If that's all, I'll ask Brother Billy if he would to dismiss us until 11 o'clock.